But as these feelings gradually sort of settled, I began to see that there's actually a nugget of gold in this of the nothing of one's own, something enormously important for us to hold on to, even those of us who, by comparative standards, do have an awful lot. And it's the insight that we do, in fact, possess of earthly goods, nothing that is entirely and absolutely our own. We think we own things, but of course, what that means is that we have the use and enjoyment of them, so long as they're intact and with us. But there will come a time when we end our mortal lives and we no longer have the use and pleasure of any of these things. We have not, in any absolute sense, ever owned them. What we say that we only have for a span, temporarily, on trust, to hold in stewardship. If we're good and wise Christians, we make a last will and testament, in which we can nominate our successors who will have the use and enjoyment of these things after we have gone. But their use and enjoyment is in turn only temporary, limited by the span of their lives. In an absolute sense, none of us really owns anything. We have the use and the enjoyment, and that's why English law, I believe, rather interestingly, defines theft as depriving somebody of the lawful use and enjoyment of property. As it were, the theft is not taking the thing, the theft is depriving you, who have had your goods stolen, of the use and the enjoyment of them. So, nothing of one's own, nulla de proprio. It's a profound insight into the relation that we genuinely have with what we call our possessions. And to hold on to this insight can help us with two important things. On the one hand, it can ease in us the anxiety to own ever more and more things. Of course, the whole way that developed Western society and economy works is on the basis that we're all being encouraged all the time to own, inverted commas, more and more things in a way that is not in the long term sustainable. It's not only not good for our souls, it's extremely bad for the planet, whose resources we have to plunder ruthlessly in order to sustain that level of the making of things to be used, enjoyed, and consumed. And perhaps if we truly understood that we don't really own the things that we commonly say that we own, we'd be less anxious to own more of them, and in that way might reduce a little the intense pressure that we place upon our world. But not to have anything of one's own, to have that insight that nothing is truly of our own, helps us also to reflect on what we really do have, what's really part of us, and part of us beyond the horizon of our mortal being, and that's our minds and our hearts, the things that are given to us ultimately for the knowledge and love of God, and which we use and exercise in this life in the knowledge and love of one another. That's permanent. And if we had a lighter sense of the ownership of things, we might have a stronger sense of what is truly permanent, valuable, lasting love above all. The one permanent thing, knowledge and love, because they go together, as in the prayer in the prayer book, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. And holding on to those things, we will be happier. Who made the most strenuous effort from that day in front of the cathedral onwards never to own anything that he could call his. There's no doubt that he ended his life as one of the most infectiously joyful and happy people that the world has seen. And perhaps sitting lightly to what we own, nulla de proprio, we too might find a little more happiness. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.